Welcome back, everyone. So let's remove the bookmark and continue our story. So, lying down in this tiny cot, though you made room for yourself as much as you can. Duran, you are much taller than this cot can fit, but you put down your things and take account of everything you have and look around as the people just stare at you fawningly. But you are resting. Is there anything else you wish to do?
There has to be some way to fix this.
I agree, but there's nothing we can do today. I'm so tired and so lost. We need to rest and think of what this means and plan.
I don't know what happened after the explosion. Everyone was caught in the blast, and I wonder about Horatio, of Cal, Monaco, Dalen, Rima, Corren. They were in the explosion too, and I
wish I could offer you words of solace, but we are, I believe, Sariel, when she says we're in the future. I have no idea what happened. It could just be us, but I don't think it is. I have faith. We'll figure something out. Rest easy. And I'll put my hand on your cheek.
Rem mirrors and puts his hand to your cheek and drifts off to sleep, letting his tired body sink into the cot, or at least as much of it that touches the cot, and the rest into the ground.
I'm totally tapped out. I have nothing left.
So you continue to slumber, unsure, as you always are, of the time of day. It is here in Duskhaven. You fall asleep. People are giving you your privacy, though it is a very large room with many refugees in it. The noise, I mean, you are so tired that even the clanging and the noise of people putting on armor and planning and talking do not bother you, and you go through a successful long rest. Duran, you wake up first as only needing 4 hours of sleep, and as you do, you see standing in front of you, at this point, most people are sleeping, but standing in front of you is Sariel. Have you completed your trance?
Duran sits up. I have.
Quietly. Do not wake the king to be crowned. Come with me.
Duran nods and silently follows. And do I make a stealth check?
Yes. Please make a stealth check.
24.
24, yeah. You get up. Bed barely moves as you stand up.
This way. And she begins to walk down the hall, able to step over the other cots and things there without bothering anyone who's there.
So, as you get to the door, like the entranceway of the trunk that you exit, Sariel once again goes into her pocket this time and pulls out a white-looking dust or dirt and begins to flow it down her fingers, and mirroring what she had did when you first got into this grotto. The exit lights up and shows what seems to be another forest. She begins to step through, turns around and says, "Please, follow me." And she just walks through. Your body feels a little strange as you're warped, and you arrive what seems to be a forest. Though there are some trees ahead of you, you turn around and see the rest of it is barren and cut down and dissipated, like a rot has covered it. Though only the little bit of trees that seems to be up there, as you look up and perceive the leaves, you see they're starting to fall off, and the rot is slowly but surely taking over them as well. Sariel looks on over to you and says, "I wanted to show you what's happening to the forests, the ancient forests here. We still have a connection. So technically, we are in the Arcane Capital, and you can see the poison that has run amok. I fear that the king to be crowned will not take on his true form because of his love for you, Estellus, and though I know it's true, as you have bonded greater than you ever could, I come bearing a warning. You might need to let him go."
"Sariel, it is... I see the magnitude of what needs to be done. But it is... Can even you not see how cruel it is when I have lost so much today?"
"You speak of cruelty, but you don't know... You have no idea the cruelty that happened between the 10 years that you were gone. With King Terminus defeated, and the undead walking to Thelos, the forces from Shivrin came down, proclaiming himself as the true ruler, Ie, sat on the throne and corrupted everything. Doramo, the one who claims himself as the dark god, Erebus, he unlocked something. A word, a name. What our scouts were able to find out, the demons have been trying to unlock a power in the crystals, perverting the power of the symphony. And in doing so, they were able to find some reverse hymn melody. And it was all part of Darama's plan. He's trying to make himself greater, more powerful, in doing so unlocked a dark power of demons I've never thought I would see for again. Long ago, there was a Dark Lord, a embodiment of the chaos. He harbors the power of all of the demons of the Abyss, the worst of the worst. His name is Tartarus. And Doramo is trying to obtain whatever, some power, and claim himself as Tartarus, bringing himself to the power of the gods. What I mean to tell you, Sayduran, is all has been lost except for one thing. The bringing of the king to be crowned. His power can correct the taint of the ley lines and start us on the path. And then you two can defeat Doramo before he, if it's not too late, becomes Tartarus. And save us all. Do you not see this? It's greater than your love. I'm sorry.
I know that. Our love is true, me and my Stellae, but our love is for life and for life itself, and King would want nothing more than to save whoever he could, as many people as he could. These are dark times, and I have already seen so much lost. We understood what this would mean, and if King must move with this, then I will be there with him every step of the way, no matter what.
As long as you do not hold him back from his destiny, you may lose him, but it will be for the greater good, Duran. I know you will make the right decision.
Sorry, it was you who gave us our bond, but you underestimated. Nothing will make me lose King. He will always be with me.
She chuckles to herself slightly. I have lost sight of who I was so many years ago. Perhaps you're right. Come, we shall go, for the rest wait awaken. And she once again brings out the dust from her hands and opens up the portal through the tree and walks through.
Doran falls silently.
Okay. As you appear back in there, you can easily keep your stealth check and sneak back into bed. Or you can wake him up if you want. But if not, then the 4 hours will pass and King, you will also get your full rest.
Doran will sneak back and he won't wake up King, but he will plant a kiss on his forehead. Then lay down and wait for him to wake up in a trance.
Alright. So, King, the hours pass, and you feel comfortable. You had a good rest in Duran's arms. And you wake up. Everyone's starting to wake up now. I would say a few people, because your schedule's a little off. A few people, a good chunk of people have been awake already, and it's been a little active. But you muster up, and you feel a lot better than you did before. Looking down your chest, it's still there. The mark is still there. But at least you feel better after that battle with the undead.
Oh, I feel so much better. Is my chest glowing? And I'll, pull my shirt down to look at it.
It's indeed still glowing.
It doesn't look as bad.
Is it hideous?
Never. Nothing of you could be hideous.
All right. Let us rouse. We have a lot to understand this day. Although I'm sure you've been up. I was so exhausted. It must be past noon by now. I'm sorry if I've kept you waiting.
Duran just lightly puts his hand on King's face and traces the features of his face down with his hand, as if trying to remember it and savor his peace.
Come now, let's have breakfast and chat with the others.
He nods.
How did you rest? Did you rest all right?
The night brought clarity.
That's a good omen. I will, stand up and sort of refresh myself as best I can, and then look for, a common area. This is, just a large open space, right? I'll go to, where, people seem to be eating.
Right, and there's definitely off into the distance, there's a table where people are kind of, single file lining up with bowls and being fed rations and other small meals to get them through. So you make your way over that. People are still looking at you and parting like the Red Sea for you as you walk by, and some try to get a touch of you. You get some hands that kind of grab you. No one who actually like holds on. But nevertheless, you walk up towards a line. Coming up behind you as well is Sariel, who's smiling, and you just, once now that you're rested, you look at her again and you confirm it's Sariel, but she's definitely much older. Not 10 years older, as if she's an elderly woman. And then she kind of walks up. Glad to see that you've awakened. I trust you're feeling better.
Yes, I feel much better, thank you. I am a little hungry, though. As you can see, I'm making my way to the mess hall.
Indeed. We have some rations. Nothing spectacular, unfortunately. But you are welcome to have your fill. But I would like to invite you to listen in on our plans. We're trying to put them into action. Today, everyone's very anxious now that you're here. And it's best to work as fast as we can.
All right, yes. Let us quickly eat then and learn what you've laid out. And I'll say, do you mind, to the people in front of me, as if they actually do mind. I'll ask anyway. And just like try to walk to the front and get like something to eat.
Oh, there's some people with food in their hands and all, and they see you, and like on your bowl and tray that you grab as you walked up there, they begin filling it up for you with the stuff they have. They're like, please, and as well as Duran's as well, and begin just placing like a full-on, as full as the meals you can get from rations and nuts and berries.
This is good, thank you very much. Sariel, please lead the way. I will eat this as we listen to the plan.
Duran tries to keep his disappointment that this isn't Monaco's cooking to himself as best he can.
Great. There's someone who has been longing to see you after learning of your survival. Come with me. And she begins walking to the other end of this large barracks area. So as you begin to follow her and piece through, and the scene continues with people trying to grab onto you, you do make it towards a large circular table. Standing there, you see is a very scarred tiefling with horns going straight up from his temples. One horn is broken in half, and he does wield what seems to be a black blade, katana at his side. As he turns around and see them, you see a much older and I would say even muscular looking Kai standing before you. He has a scar going across his face in a cross shape, and as well as another scar going down his right eye to the bottom of his cheek. He looks on over into you and smiles. I didn't think I'll see you again. You're alive. And he runs up towards the two of you. He doesn't go give you a hug, but he gets really close and goes to grab your arms and shake it. Praise be. And he hesitates when he says this and says, just thank goodness that you're alive.
Yes, it's so good to see you. You're such a good sight for sore eyes.
10 long years.
Kai, have you heard anything of what happened to the other liberators? What may have happened to my warband?
No, all we know is that the only one to survive that explosion was Doramo. He looked, from what I hear, was extremely upset, and his power to shine down onto Thelos, using the undead. King Terminus wasn't here anymore to defend it. And then Hiei came. We tried to stop him. I let Shivarin down. Queen Camilla. And he looks down and looks away for you. I couldn't protect her. I couldn't protect Dad. I couldn't protect anyone. I failed. I always fail. We came to the aid of Thelos, but I couldn't stop Hiei. He destroyed the ley lines, and Doramo found whatever he was looking for, some power he was trying to unlock, and who knows where he went. He's just been trying to survive in Hiei's rule.
How long has it been dark like this? Did it happen immediately, or why is it like this?
It took a few months. We were fighting Hiei and the demon dancers as they made their way towards Thelos with the entire army of Fia. He was unstoppable. Then with the undead already tearing apart Thelos, he stepped in there, walked into the royal district. I fought him as much as I could. He sat on the throne, engulfed the ley lines in chaos, and then this happened. So it's been like this for about 9.5 years. But we have a plan. I'm plan that we're putting into action today, and I'm hoping you guys will be able to help. I'm going to distract with some other de facto demon dancers and people here who are able to fight Hiei. Get him off that throne. He never moves from it. There, who was our most powerful mage, was going to sit on it, try to fix it, using the energy from everybody we have who's tied to the arcane. They're all risking their lives just to fix everything, just to get magic working again. Everything's chaotic. No one can do barely a cantrip. Only the most powerful of us is even to muster anything. Magic weapons don't work. But with you, King, with your power, if you sit on the throne, you'll be able to right all of this. You have the energy to survive and then some.
I hope so.
So you agree? You'll help us?
What other choice do we have?
Thank you. Thank you so much, King. We can finally right Duskhaven and dare say it defeat Hiei and his forces once and for all.
This isn't how things were supposed to go.
Maybe then we could pick the pieces back together again.
This has been the worst, the darkest timeline ever since the Northrill.
That's where everything's set in motion. But we finally have a chance to right our wrongs. We can do this. We've trained. I've gotten stronger. I may not be able to tap into my vagary anymore, but I can still weave the power of chaos. And it hasn't corrupted me. Not like it has Genju and the others.
Wait, Kai, you weave the power of chaos?
Yes, I do. And I'm not ashamed of it. It's the only thing we have that can defeat Hiei and his forces. I can use chaotic dances. It's rough, but I've trained. This is what I'm meant to do. This is what I train for. Why I was found outside of the Neverlight. This is my destiny.
Kai, you mustn't shoulder this destiny alone. We're here to help.
No. If you try to dip into chaos, it'll overtake you. I was molded for the chaos. There are great things I've learned about my connection to Neverlight. My demonic origins, unlike tieflings who hail from the infernal. It seems that I have ties with the abyss, but that's a story for another time. I'll tell you all about it once we win. So whenever you're ready, I think we should head off.
What are we to do exactly? Just sit on the throne once you guys oust him from it? And then I'm going to be able to magically undo all of the chaos?
That's the plan. We can do this.
Kai, I have a... I might need something for you before we do this.
What?
Before we left, I had a weapon forged with the ability to fight against the chaos, to use the chaos against the chaos. It was at our manor in the Light District. Is there any way we can have someone retrieve it? It might be useful in the fight against Hiei.
Oh. I guess you mean this. And he walks on over towards where there's a bunch of weapons stored, sliding them across, put on top of a holster. He pulls up the dual-bladed scimitar. And as he does, his hand begins to glow purple-black energy that hovers across the weapon as well. He goes and holds it in front of you with ease. We found this during one of our expeditions in the Thelos. I recognize it as your weapon. Its power to weave the chaos is amazing, but you are its true wielder. Here, and he hands you the blade.
Kai, if you've been using this to fight the chaos and to fight Dharamo's forces, you should use it for now.
Are you sure?
No, I will take this. I will take my share of this burden. This is my fight and my enemy too.
All right. And he hands you over the blade. In your hands, it feels different. Immediately you can feel the battles it's been through, the chaos it's torn through. It's weaving in and out of demonic powers. Just start to feel this heavy, dark energy come upon you. Can you please roll me a wisdom saving throw?
Yes, but he will grab King's hand as he makes it.
Right? If I need to, I'll use my reaction to...
I would like to use one of my lucky die to reroll that. 7 becomes a...
A 7 becomes a...
18!
18! Hot dog. All right. As the dark energy comes over you, you start to become angrier, darker. Dark thoughts fill your head, feelings of dread, of loss, whispers in your ears. But holding onto your Stella's hand, the connection between you, you're able to wash away the darkness and come to your senses.
Don't let it take over you.
Are you all right, Duran?
You've been through so much, Kai. I I'm sorry. We failed you.
No, it was I who failed you. I should have been there. But we have a second chance. I have faith. We can write this. Whenever you're ready, we should head off. So, choice is yours. You can hang about or gather your things and head off. They're ready to go to enact their plan of sneaking into Thelos using their means and ousting Hiei.
So, can I take a minute to try and, like, assess how magic affects me? Because they said that they have hard time doing cantrips, you know. Being a vessel to a goddess, I might have a little more leeway with doing some spells, but I kind of don't want to just go in there like willy-nilly with no idea of how my casting works or will work.
You spent some time just going over, filling out your magic. I would say you're easily able to surmise that anything taking a level one spell, a level one slot or higher, has a chance of just not working. Your cantrips are easy, they come off, but... Whereas other people, according to the description, have not been able to get it work, at least you, like, you're able to try to... There's a chance. Happening. You saw sparks. Exactly. You saw sparks come up, and you're realizing that you can control the magic, but it's very fluctuating.
It's not like it will just always fail. Okay, I'll say, after, you know, spending a few minutes sort of collecting myself, I'll say, let's... I'll ask Duran to come with me and just sort of have a little privacy or as much as we can get. And I'll say, I think that this is the best thing to do. What else can we do? If the throne and the ley lines is what's causing chaos in this world, we have to try and rid it and right these wrongs.
I feel like we are here for a reason, King. And this is our chance. This is our fight. This is our opportunity to set things right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you felt the same way that I did. No matter how it turns out, I want you to know how much I care for you and how much I love you.
Duran just goes and just very, very aggressively kisses King right then and holds him for a moment.
I'll obviously reciprocate that, and after a moment passes, I'll sort of say in a passionate breath, like, we can't form our kingdom and save our people if this world is still bathed in darkness. We have to walk forward together through all of this.
This is our destiny, together.
I believe in you. I trust you. I'll give him another kiss and a hug, and then go with Sariel and the group and Kai.
So you go ahead and join the group. You see there are a couple tieflings. They look like they could have been demon dancers. People who are wearing a strange... augmented versions of the Unity Knight's armor, as well as Sariel and Kai, and they're all sitting there and chatting and talking and reviewing plans, and they go over to you. He's like, okay, are you ready? Our plan is such, we will be walking through the gateway of the grove to appear directly into the Dust District. From there we will make our way quickly. I will rip a scar from there directly into the throne room, bypassing his defenses, since it's only he who's allowed to enter that place. I will cast him into a pocket dimension where I'll fight him. I can only hold it for so long with his power, but in that time, the rest of us will keep all his guards at bay, while King, you will sit on the throne. There, hopefully, you will the ley lines to correct themselves, bring back magic, and we can fight. The rest of our forces have been placed strategically around Thelos. They'll be able to wipe out the undead and the demon scourge once magic is back. Let us move. You two, make sure you handle the ex-captains. And he points over to two other demon dancers, and they're like, yes, sir. And he begins saying more orders while Sariel walks up. I'll be there. I will use as much of the magic that I have in me that I can muster to protect you. Don't be afraid. This is our last hope. You would truly be the king to be crowned. And they all begin walking outside. And she does the ritual of picking up the certain dust and pouring it from her hand as the doorway opens up, leading back to where Duran and Sariel had went the night prior. And as you all follow and walk on through, looking back one last time at the rest of the refugees, you are shifted and teleported into the forest that's in the Dust District. Meanwhile, Monaco, Horatio, the journey is starting and you guys have been walking for quite some time, walking past a strange landscape that you've never seen before. Kind of keeping up a barrier around you, you see Gaia doing some motions with her hands, still doing somatic and vocal magical words that sound so different from the magic that you know, Horatio, and you, Monaco, as she does so, but she seems to be keeping up some type of barrier around you, not dissimilar to what the Heavens Do does. But she keeps looking over at Horatio and then looking straight. For the most part, unless you guys speak anything, they remain silent during the journey, only talking to each other, which you've at this point surmised that they're mentally communicating, but talking to each other when they look at each other.
If we're walking, Horatio will eventually stumble and fall to the ground and kind of just pick himself up slowly.
If you stumble, Erebus turns around and says, "Pick up the pace. We have quite some time, and I want to be sure we get there before daybreak."
Monaco rushes over to him, and as she helps him up, she will communicate into his mind. "What are we gonna do?"
"I don't know. Like I said, I'm basically tapped out. I can't fight. For now, we just go wherever they're taking us."
I have some things up my sleeve, but I don't know. And then we will, you know, finish kind of getting together. That we'll keep walking with them.
All right. So you go ahead and continue walking. And as the journey goes on for a few more hours, and you can, for the first time ever, Monaco, you're starting to see a glimpse of a sun rising above the horizon as the land starts to become brighter and brighter, though still lightning crackling in the sky. The stars that are twinkling above are slowly starting to dissipate, a phenomenon you've never seen before, as daybreak is slowly coming upon us. Off in the distance, Eros points and says,
"There! That's the cave. We've made it. Good job, Gaia. You're so powerful, able to keep them at bay like that. I try my best. Luckily, I was able to find this crystal. Somehow, I'm able to augment it. May create a barrier. Keeps them at bay, though it's very taxing. Anyway, let's go. The doorway awaits."
DM, is that... do we recognize that crystal as the one that needs dew in order to keep up a barrier?
Oh yeah, totally looks like a crystal. Heaven's dew crystal.
And Horatio in his mind says to Monaco, should we give her some of the Heaven's dew?
"We know what it is you're doing with the stone."
"I'm sure you do. You are from the future, and I will beg you to please be silent. Who knows what havoc you'll be wreaking upon the timeline. Just being here. Just stay out of our way. We will open up the doorway and we'll stop whatever calamity you're talking about. You don't have to worry about it. Erebus, and Eros and I have figured this out. We have this under control. Maybe you have it all wrong."
"You don't understand." And he kind of looks at her and says, "If you open that door and step through, there's nothing you can do to change it. You're not going to stop it."
At this point, Erebus once again walks on over towards you. He has sharp fingernails, and he puts them up to your throat and says, "She said to be quiet. If you destroy any of our chances of saving our world by the words that come from your mouth, I will remove your tongue personally."
As he's approaching, Monaco kind of interposes herself between Horatio and Erebus, protectively.
Erebus walks away. "Come, destiny awaits." And he continues, and they all just continue walking. Gaia looking back one last time, staring at you for a moment, Horatio, but then continuing to go down the path towards the cave. So you guys continue walk for a bit. The cave, at this point, the sun is definitely cresting up and the warmth is returning to the air. Something you guys have not felt in ages in Monaco, never. But you walk up to this large cave. It was definitely a lot smaller than you thought looking at it now, because the cave mouth goes up probably 20 feet, and it's with the equivalence to it being 20 feet wide. There are stalagmites and stalactites that fill up the entirety of this cave. As water drips from them. And Gaia kind of blinks her eyes, and Erebus says, please, please, allow me. And Erebus snaps his fingers, and in doing so, there's a glitter that goes over Gaia's eyes, and she says, thank you. curse of being a human, unable to see in the dark. And that's why you have me. I'll be your light in the darkness, Gaia. And they kind of share a moment before proceeding into the cave. And the journey seems is a boring one as you walk through. There doesn't seem to be any traps that spring up. It was, almost seems too easy if they're finding the door to Eustacia, as you saw in your vision before. But nevertheless, they continue trotting over, crossing ravines, and the cave just must have been, went into a mountain, and you can now just experience the entirety of this mountain as it just continues to extend and extend through every cavernous turn. There are creatures that you hear that are snarling within distance, but as you guys get closer to it, Gaia continues to hold up the crystal in her hand, and an energy shoots off, and you hear, "Gah!" They run off into the distance. Eros smiles at her, and they continue going until finally they are met. They walk into a humongous circular room, a dome almost, that's inside of the cave. Ahead of them, there seems to be an altar standing there, and then there's pillars that are about 5 feet across, 15 feet tall. Gaia puts down her crystal and says, "We're here. That was too easy. I'm worried, Erebus." "It's fine. Just be on your toes. And don't try anything," he says, looking at the two of you.
"And we wouldn't."
"I couldn't if I wanted to."
"We have to let this pass. But you have to know something."
Erebus kind of turns and looks at you, and then continue just looking and perceiving and investigating the area, not trying to pay you any mind.
She just gives Gaia a pleading look, but doesn't expect much.
Roll a persuasion check. Or roll me a charisma check.
A 10.
10. She kind of looks at you, kind of look at her, and she looks at you, and she kind of walks on over in your direction and shakes her head, "No," and then begins surveying and checking out the area that the altar is at, being very careful.
"Do I recognize this altar from any of the visions that King and Horatio saw?"
"Yes, this is the very same altar you saw when the two of you had communed back in Fia and had looked over at this scene that happened, that they were all crawling on the ground, looking battered and bruised as they were attacking something. That's entire scene just looks exactly like that.
But obviously different because they're not battered and bruised.
Right, like either it hasn't happened yet, or maybe you did change time, who knows. But right now they're just currently surveying the area.
Knowing what's coming, Horatio starts to look around and says to Manako, "Keep an eye out. From the visions that I saw, this is where they either were ambushed or were in an extreme, terrible fight.
Whatever they're about to do."
And I will start to look around.
Roll me investigation check. 29, all right. So you go ahead and go out and survey the area, and you look around, and you see it was hidden, and doesn't seem anyone else has noticed it yet. The altar that's ahead that Erebus and Eros and now Gaia are checking out, trying to think some things there. But do you see something to the left-hand corner there? A painting. Strange painting. It looks like a beast or some type of creature. You're not sure what it is. It looks like it's eating something or consuming when you look at it. And it's just odd. And then checking out, you notice that you're touching around the area, and you notice that it's loose. Like it's on some type of panel or rock that can be moved.
He says to Manako, "I found something here. But I don't know if we should tell them. I don't know what to do."
"It has to pass, Horatio. But
there's something here."
And they kind of turn and look up over at you. "What have you found?" And Gaia begins walking over quickly. What is this?" she says, analyzing the painting.
"Stand back."
"It seems that this can move."
"Move. Stand back."
"He obliges."
Okay. So she goes ahead and begins to move the panel that you've noticed. And in pulling it, she takes it out, the picture of the creature consuming. She places down and she looks at it one more time, kind of shivering a little bit. She sees, like, on top of, like, in a crevice, is a thick golden key-shaped object. This is it. Oh, this is it. We found it. This is the key. This is how we get into Eustacia. That's the doorway. This is the key. It's right here. Thank you so much, Horatio. Well done. We can do it. Send a message to the other. Tell them to follow. Tonight we take over Eustacia. As you command. And it seems like he goes ahead and casts a spell, Erebus, before Gaia walks on over. Looking at you, giving you a nod, and then continuing to go to the altar that they're all standing. Roll me a perception check, the both of you.
I would like to use Dark One's own luck to add a d10 to that.
Yeah, I got a 9.
I rolled a 10, by the way.
Okay, you reach in to do Dark One's own luck. Nobody responds.
She feels abandoned.
A 9, 10, okay. It's like not even a link. Like, you think out toward the burning hand. You feel no connection to the burning hand whatsoever. How you're able to even tap into your magic that so far you realize you're not sure how, but it's just maybe it's residual energy and magic. You're not sure, but going directly to the Dark One, using Dark One's luck and going towards Burning Hand seems just emptiness.
Where usually there is a voice, she finds silence.
Exactly. But a 9 and a 10, okay. So you guys kind of sit there, looking over as the trio, as they begin to perform some type of ritual, lifting up the golden key towards the altar. You hear them start to chant words. As they do, the both of you feel a whipping around your feet. And looking down, you see clasped around your ankles is a black ooze-like substance that has been crawling out of the space that has been pulled, that the key was pulled from. More and more of this ink-like substance comes gushing out of it and slowly grabbing onto all of you as you were distracted looking onto the trius.
Can I firebolt it?
Sure, you can give it a try.
I wouldn't want to do it at my feet. Like, I would look for where it's coming from and firebolt that.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me an attack.
25.
25. All right. So you go ahead and with your 25 strike the wall. There's a huge explosion that comes for as that heat energy erupts. Immediately, stopping their incantation, the trios turn and look over at you and you hear, what? And gushing out of the hole that you made, this amorphous black goop just begins and to form mouth and teeth and red eyes that you hear. Coming from over there as it starts to pull you in, and then Guy goes, oh, what is that? What? Oh no! And stops her ritual, jumps off of the altar, and begins to come over and cast magical flames and abilities over at the creature as it starts to pull you in. Erebus and Eros, well, Erebus specifically goes, ugh, I told you not to touch anything. And he too begins to go and form a whip from his fingers as he lashes around the beast that's slowly pulling you in. Is there anything you wish to do as you're being sucked in? Right now these trees are like fighting off the creature that is now probably a gargantuan creature at this point, reaching all the way up to the ceiling as it's starting to engulf you. You're up to your stomachs in this goop as it's pulling you in.
Horatio doesn't have a way to run away because I don't have any high spell slots available. Monaco.
Or you could do whatever you like as well, Monaco.
Monaco will put both hands on it and attempt to banish it. She just puts both hands on it and screams, channeling power into it.
So as you go ahead and cast banishment onto the creature, shielding it away from your dimension, you let for it. You see the creature go. As the energy unfurls around it, and the creature starts to dissipate and disappear and turn and fade away. You are freed from his grasp as you pull up and walk away from it. And Gaia, Eros, and Erebus look there. They're kind of shocked after seeing as the creature just kind of, after screaming in pain, fade from this plane of existence. Gaia looks over and over to you and says, oh, great show.
There's probably more coming.
I've only bought us some time.
As Horatio says that, there's a rumbling sensation coming from the wall as well as you see more goop coming out, and it just explodes out. But you guys are now far enough away where it doesn't overtake you at this point, but now you're seeing as another creature, same one, you're not sure, but more of this goop comes out and creates another identical creature. It's like, and at this point you can tell that it's getting larger and larger over time. Like, it's as if this is an endless flow of whatever goop this is. But you are free. You can stand there or run away. The Trias, they have jumped back and are more in defensive position. And they look at you to like, get back!
We move back, and as Horatio's moving back, he's going to release a lightning bolt at the creature.
Yeah, we move back, right?
Alright. So you go ahead and move back, shooting the lightning bolt at it. It shoots the creature onto its chest, and you hear like as it begins to bubble and shake this goop. And as it does so, you see the lightning bolt kind of shoot around its entire body, circle up and shoot back, striking you and the rest of the group behind you with the sheer force of lightning bolt, but it's multiplied. I need all of you to make dexterity saving throws. They will make dexterity saving throws as well.
Oof. An 8.
A 20.
Alright, so you succeed and Guy succeeds. Everyone else fails. You're all struck by Horatio's lightning bolt, but it's darker. Its energy is chaotic and evil in nature as it strikes down. And you take... Horatio, take half of 33 points of damage. So you will take half, which would be 16. So I'll apply that. And you are at 15 temporary hit points.
Could you take those 15 temp and give them to Minako as he will throw his shield to her as a reaction?
Oh, so she'll get 15 more HP?
Yeah.
Okay, certainly. Perfect, thank you. So Minako, as you are hit by this, Gaius says, ah, and the resident are like, ah, and they fall down to the ground after being struck by this, and slowly kind of dust themselves off and get up. Is everyone all right? Gaius says, looking over. This creature seems to be able to reflect magic. Be careful what you use. We might need to do this the brute force way. And you see them all whip out, kind of move their hand and up and down motion. And in doing so at the bottom, they all each hold a hilt of a magical weapon. Doramo carrying a spear, Eros with a bow as arrows appear in a quiver on his back, and Gaia holding a long broadsword. Let's defeat this creature for once and for all, and then we will enter Eustacia. You too, be careful. We can't protect you. Not against this. Come, Maitreus, let's make history! And they start to run and begin to battle.
Horatio, knowing what's about to happen, the battle that's coming ahead, he says, I'm gonna see if I can tap into my Archon power. Pulls out the staff, grips the staff, and, tries to activate Archon of Peace.
Okay. You go ahead and reach in to activate Archon of Peace. Your body begins to bulk and shrink, then bulk and shrink as you force your way through the magic. You could feel that if you go further with this, you might do some damage as everything just is not correct in your magical, your internal magical scheme. You can choose to push forward knowing this if you want. If you do, I need you to roll me a intelligence saving throw.
13?
Okay, so you pushed on. So with a 13, you go ahead and push forward, pushing through the pain. Monak, you look on over and see Horatio's hair stand on end like it does before. His body explodes with magical energy, and the three trees look on over in shock as they see this. They're like, what power is this? Horatio, as you do so, you just feel everything erupt in pain inside of you. Your body starts to shine and starts to glow. The energy cannot be contained, and you start to feel your entire entity just start to split open. Your body is not able to contain such a power, and everyone looking back is just like, hold on! Gaius is looking on, and then there's a huge eruption of explosion that comes from Horatio. As it does, it blasts and engulfs the creature, engulfs the Trias and Monaco. When the dust settles, Horatio, you are almost entropied and how like frail your body is. You're standing there barely looking as everything in you has been released. Your eyes are completely white and smoke is shining from your coming out of your pores as you fall down to your knees, flattening directly onto the ground, unconscious. The creature has been wiped away. All of the Trias are on the floor, hurt, but then the scene is that of a mimic of what you and King had saw before, with them on the ground crawling in pain, making their way as they crawl towards the gate, slowly but surely, that they were opening up before the creature happened. Meanwhile, while this is happening, King, Duran, the two of you are at this point, you've walked through the gate and are appearing in the Dust District. They're in that rotting place. Sariel, Kai, and the rest are running, and they look over to you. Come on, we got to get there fast before they notice our presence. Let's go. And he begins dancing in a chaotic stance, moving around in circles, and as he's doing so, a rip in the air begins to tear itself up. And slowly but surely, you recognize the chaotic steps of an opening of a scar. As it splits open, wind gets sucked in. It doesn't pull you in there, but you can feel the force of it. He looks on over as his skin begins to glow red and purple, the familiar colors of chaos. And once the rift finally fully opens, he stands there huffing and puffing. Now, he will have known. Jump through now. What do you guys do?
Obviously run right through.
Okay.
Duran unsheets for Flasia and he dives through, blade swinging.
Okay. The two of you dive on through, warping through this dark mess of chaos energy until finally you appear on the other side. Looking across me, you see a shadow reflection of the throne room that King Terminus was before, when that time ago when you first convened with him, and Horatio has sat on the ley lines. The throne there is, everything is just black and full of malice, purple and red energy swirling everywhere. You see, looking before you, the horror of the black eyes with the red pupils, demonic structure that is Hiei, the now daimyo and ruler of all of Duskhaven. He has nothing but shock on his face as foof, 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 more people pop through the scar. He immediately looks, notices, and says, "Guards! Guards!" And then at this point, Kai goes, "Now! Before they enter!" And the rest of the demon dancers who were with him, as well as other members, jolt and go towards the entryway, blocking the people who are now busting through the doors. Kai looks on over. First, Hiei locks eyes with both of you and immediately just has a look of dread and just confusion on his face. "How the fuck are you still alive? No. No. No!" And as he does so, and the chaotic armor that you see in all the minions of chaos starts to build and unfurl around him as they lock on. And appearing right in front of him is Kai. He says, "Your fight is with me. Now, I will defeat you once and for all, Hiei. Rend of Chaos." As he does so, he slices his blade, his katana on his side, through the sky, ripping open what seems to be another scar, and sucking this demonic Hiei himself through this portal, leaving no one inside of this room other than you and obviously the people who are guarding the front, and Sariel. Sariel goes, "Now, this is your chance. King, sit on the throne."
All right. I'll run up and sit on the throne and prepare. I'll think to myself, okay, I can do this. And I'll sit down.
Sitting on a throne, the dark energy starts to swirl around you. They start to go into your feet, into your hands like vines and whips. They curl around you, and then they go around your neck, start to choke you. Sariel immediately shouts out an incantation, "El Assassinat!" in Elvish, and as she does so, a light shines from her fingertips, blasting back the dark tendrils around you. "Please, I cannot keep this up any longer. I need you to roll me an intelligence saving throw, King. Duran, during this, what are you doing?
So Duran would have liked to have tried to jump through that portal after EA and Kai.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, if possible.
All right.
Can I add my... I don't know, does the Rabu still with us or no?
Reaching out, connecting to the Rabu, you're thinking, you're sitting onto the throne trying to focus. Things are wrapping through your mind, images, you're swirling into the chaos, into everything, into the world, swirling through everything within the world of Duskhaven, into the dark areas of the Black Kingdom, to Fia, to everything inside of Thelos, but your mind is getting lost. A glimmer of hope shines through the darkness as you hear, "You can do it, King. I know you can." And the voice of Makar pierces through. Roll that Arabu save bonus.
Oh, yes. Thank goodness, Makar. Oh, fantastic. 18.
18. Okay. That changes things. Duran, roll me a dexterity saving throw to see if you jumped after the two of them, if you're quick enough. Dexterity check. Dexterity check.
22.
So at that moment, before the scar seals up, you hop through, just barely making it, locking eyes with King, as in one moment, you both look at each other after surviving your checks / saves. Connecting for that one moment, Duran disappears, leaving you alone, King, in here, with Sariel hovering over you, blocking the dark tendrils. You see ahead of you, King, as you go back into consciousness, people busting through the doors, but it waves in and out of your vision, in and out of your vision, as you see an army bust through, but you get lost within the chaos. You feel the dark energies of the ley lines. How Horatio could even stand this before, you don't know. Maybe it's just Archon power. As the light in your chest begins to shine brighter and brighter, you start to even hear a ripping sensation as the scar just starts to make its way straight down your stomach, piercing your skin, just more light as you become a beacon. Sariel looks over and says, "It's happening. It's happening. Release it. Become one with Mylaki. Become the new entity. The new god." As you hold on, meanwhile, inside of the rift, it's nothing but darkness. The yips and howls of demons can be heard all around you, Duran, as a clash of light can be seen off into the distance. You see fighting because of your dark vision, you can see fighting off is Kai and this dark, demonic armored version of Hiei, as they're just making explosions, their blades striking left and right. It seems like Kai has the one-up, but then Hiei lifts his hands, shouts out words that you can't hear from this distance, but you see Kai get blasted back by a purple and red energy, and you what'd you like to do?
Kai! Duran's gonna run over to Kai's side. "I'm not gonna let you fight this monster alone. You've lost before on your own. We lost before our own. But together we fight."
Duran, why did you come in here? This might be a one-way trip. Thank you. All right, we can do this. Together, keep him trapped in here. As long as it takes. And he looks out over you and nods. You notice your weapon is glowing with demonic energy. And you start to feel how you can weave the chaos in your fashion. Spinning the blade around and around is almost like the space that you're in is warping around the blade. You feel powerful, Duran. Extremely powerful. Hiei looks on over to you and says,
"You infidels, I will destroy all of you. You will be mine. Your energy will be mine. The chaos within you will be mine. And I finally will rule all of Duskhaven. No more resistance, only death."
"But monsters like you, someone will always resist, Hiei." Duran's gonna start his Cloud Vagary dance.
You begin to dance around the Union Cloud Vagary, but it's not Cloud, the energy of Nyx that you feel. The darkness is swirling around you. The chaos is becoming one with you. Kai sees your movements and begins to dance with you as well. And the two of you begin swirling, matching your movements like a mirror image as the chaos begins to be warped around you. Go ahead and make an attack and see what comes of the power that you've just achieved, Duran.
Okie dokie, Dungeon Master. 19.
19. Okay, as you go ahead and slash, you were at least about 50-60 feet away from Hiei, but now you appear directly in front of him in a both of you are directly in front of Hiei. As you slice up, Hiei barely manages to take his dark blade and deflect your slash as an energy just explodes, engulfing the both of you. The fabric of this space that you're in begins to crack as you see lines start to pierce. King, as your mind is getting lost, furling into the chaos, more and more, your energy, you get to feel the pain inside. The memories of Myleki flow into your head. How she came to be, how the Prolepsy came to be, how they grew from nothing, and then there was just Law and Eustacia, and then there was just chaos in the abyss. How she formed, guarded over the forest, her people. She revealed the elves, the half-elves. The prayers of every single person who worshipped Myleki just hits you at once and flood into your head. All the memories of your family, your mother, your father, the kingdom, the people that you were sworn to protect, they flow into your head, and all those memories begin to mush into one. No longer do you feel connected to them. No longer do you feel the calls of your followers of Myleki. You feel something new, a new energy, and the last thing you feel is this tiny, thin string connecting you to Duran, and looking at it, you look at, and through it, you can peer into the veil of the shadows that he is. You see him fighting as the world around him begins to break and shudder, and then snip the link between the two, even though you try to reach out to him and do something. In that moment, you're just lost in the thought of being not King, not Myleki, and every connection that you felt toward Duran is sundered and split. And you're no longer King. You're not Myleki, not Calvershar. You're something new, something greater. As the ley lines are flipped, a massive surge of white light shines up. Cal, as the white light starts shining around you, the words of Nyx still shudder and flow into your ear as images start fluctuating in your head of everything. Time is just flowing in front. You see everything pass. You look down and see an explosion, looking as if you're flying through these events. Looking over, you reach out your hand instinctively. You see a hurt Monaco onto the ground. You see the Trius just pulling themselves up, opening up the door as a bright light to Eustacia starts to unlock. And with it, chaos energy fairly into Eustacia. You witness that. You see Horatio barely breathing with his hands up as he falls to his knees to the ground, and you reach down in a tether of energy as you pass by through the speed of light, locks onto your two allies, and you grip onto them. The two of you are then thrusted out of here. Time fluctuating, speeding past you. You are now suddenly through within this white tunnel side by side with Cal. Everything's happening so fast you can't even react. Cal, your image shifts over as you more time flings by. The tearing, the combination of the shards that Gaia had placed together, the ripping of the void, placing all of Yggdrasil into pieces, putting into all sections that is the void and all the planes that you have traversed and then some. And as you start to careen and turn through this tunnel, you see King exploding with energy as he turns into nothing but just pure energy. White wings sprout from his back as his form starts to shake and turn, and you reach down, grabbing onto him, the light energy from King also locking onto you as well. It pierces through the veil of darkness as the realm of chaos shatters, appear with Kai, Hiei, and Duran all appearing back into the material realm, locking onto your energy, locking onto Duran as well, as you all are pulled into the strange tunnel of just passing images. Once again, the words whisper are into your ears as everything bends, shifts, and poof, you guys reappear in your normal forms, looking at yourselves in a dustless sky, with the sounds of screams and yells coming from the distance, explosions happening. Looking up in the sky, you see a floating island off into the distance as five familiar heroes hop onto unicorns and dash off, running out of the dust district. And that is where we're in tonight's session.
Oh,
hold on.
What? Shit!
It's a fucking Prisoners of Azkaban!
What?
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Like, hold on.
Time travel.
Oh, man.
No. Do you guys know, like, that little, like, loading thing when something is still, like, processing? Like, what just happened? Like, did we pop up and we're seeing us go
We just saw us leave to go do that battle that we did.
No!
Shit. What an amazing session. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, everyone who listens. As always, you can catch everything A Tale of D20s at ataleofd20s.com. That's ataled20s.com. Thank you so much again for listening from the first chapter to the last page. We love you. Take care of yourselves. Be kind. And we'll see you next time. Bye now.